Hello and welcome to the Mindful in Minutes podcast, a guided meditations podcast brought to you by Yoga for You. I'm Kelly, and today I'll be leading you through your meditation. So go ahead and get comfortable, settle in, and enjoy your meditation practice. With your business, whether you're selling a little or you're selling a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. So whether you're at the just launching stage or maybe you're at the I just hit a million orders stage, wherever you're at, Shopify is there to help you grow. So maybe you are selling custom meditation cushions, or maybe you are offering outdoor outfits. Whatever it is, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Plus, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And I remember when I was creating the Soul Guidance Meditation Deck, at first I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to create a thing, but how the heck do I sell it online? And it's just so hard to figure out the logistics, but not with Shopify, because their award-winning help is there to support you every step of the way. They make it so, so easy. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mindful, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/mindful now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/mindful. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Mindful in Minutes podcast. Thank you all so much for being here. I am just grateful for you. I wanted to make sure I took a moment to share that. I think it every day, but I don't always tell you every episode, but I am so grateful that you're here. And today I thought we would do, I think this will be like a mini freeform episode where we really explore mindfulness, what it truly is, what it is not, how and why you should be practicing it daily. If you didn't hear, this is my one quick reminder. I've got to fit one in. This is my only chance to talk to you. My final 2023 retreat is live. It is a collab with the beautiful Gina Sear. She's the host of Past Lives and the Divine. We're going to be in British Columbia, Canada, so a couple hours outside of Vancouver. And we're going to be recalling past lives. We're going to be talking to our spirit guides. We're going to be doing soul work, daily yoga. And it's in like the most beautiful setting. You can head over to yogaforyouonline.com, click on retreats, or I'll link to it in the show notes. I would love to have you there. There's about 2 spots left. It'd be really special if you were there. All right, mindfulness. Let's talk about it. You've heard me talk about it briefly before. I've touched on it. Obviously, this podcast is called Mindful in Minutes. Like, meditation and mindfulness are often used interchangeably, but they're actually two different practices. So meditation, as we know, is just the action or practice of single-pointed concentration on an object or a concept. My favorite way to describe this is the mind is like a light bulb. So when you're meditating, you're trying to take that light bulb and you're trying to focus all the light on one thing. So you're turning the light bulb into the laser pointer. Now, mindfulness, on the flip side, that is the quality or state of being fully present, aware, and conscious of your surroundings and state of being. So going back to the light bulb, it's like you are taking that light bulb and turning the light up all the way so you can clearly see whatever it is that you're looking at. It's really about like using your senses and being present with something that you're doing 100%. Like, that's practicing mindfulness, just doing one thing at a time and being fully present with that thing. It's pretty simple. I didn't say it's easy, but it's pretty simple, the idea of it. And you can do anything mindfully, right? You can fold your clothes mindfully. You can walk the dog mindfully. You can drink a cup of coffee mindfully. As long as you're being completely present in just that one thing that you're doing, you're practicing mindfulness. So you can do anything mindfully, but you can't really do anything else while you meditate. The exception being a walking meditation, which It's a little bit of a hybrid. And even that, like, you know, we aren't just like going out like willy-nilly going for a little power walk. It's like we're moving really slowly, really intentionally focusing on the feet on the ground. So even that isn't like just practicing mindfulness. It's kind of like a halfway point in between the two. So we're going to be talking all about mindfulness today, which is also really important and super beneficial. Basically, if you're listening to this, you know, the too long didn't read, the TLDR, is that you can take any small little thing that you find to be mundane and turn it into a mindfulness practice and make it really special, powerful, and beneficial. So I'll be doing a mindful doing meditation this Sunday. Our meditation of the week will be this mindful doing. And it's basically a guided mindfulness practice. I'll be guiding you through some kind of an activity or a task or a chore or whatever you choose to do for that. So I want to explore some of the benefits of practicing mindfulness daily. So these are from the APA, the American Psychological Association, but some of the studied benefits of practicing mindfulness, so separate from meditation, although there's a lot of overlap in the benefits because they're closely related, but things like reduced rumination, right? So people who maybe ruminate on things, overthink, think about something for a very, very long time. I think about rumination often as like you have an uncomfortable conversation with someone and you keep like replaying it and being like, oh, should I have said this or should I have said that? Or, you know, did this lead to that? And da 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 da, right? You're ruminating on that one interaction. So people who practice regular mindfulness see a reduction in rumination. They also see a reduction in anxiety, stress, and depression. I want to touch on that anxiety piece and the depression piece because, you know, it's kind of my belief that depression is sort of living in the past. And this isn't to minimize depression or anxiety. They are very, very real things. I've struggled with both at different times. But when I'm looking at it kind of with my mindfulness lens, I think of depression as sort of living like in the past or being drawn to the past, being kind of, I don't know, being drugged down to the past doesn't quite feel like the right way to describe it, but I think you guys know what I'm trying to say, where anxiety is kind of this constant chronic living in the future, right? Worrying about what might happen or what could happen or what's going to happen next or something that's coming up. Like depression's kind of being pulled into the past where anxiety is kind of constantly living in the future, where mindfulness is being anchored in the moment. And so I think the more that we practice mindfulness and the more that we allow ourselves to be present and anchored in the moment, it helps to reduce our tendencies to either be pulled into the past or constantly living in the future, depression and anxiety. Regular mindfulness has also been shown to boost working memory and self-examination and helpful introspection. So sometimes this is referred to as like cognitive flexibility, right? Like your ability to not just like wrap your head around new concepts, but to be able to maybe step outside of yourself and kind of examine objectively. People who practice mindfulness tend to have an easier time with this or to build this skill over time. And I'm talking about helpful introspection, which is different than rumination. Rumination is that kind of not helpful, like getting in your head about something, where helpful introspection, like if we go back to that uncomfortable conversation, where rumination is kind of just overplaying it all the time, like, oh, did I mess this up? Should I have done it this way? Da, 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 da. That's rumination versus helpful introspection is where maybe you look at that same interaction and you just look at it kind of the one time and you're like, wow, that really didn't go the way I would have liked it to go. How can I do something differently the next time to have a different interaction? And then kind of going from there, and then when you've come to your conclusion, releasing it, right? So introspection versus rumination. Regular mindfulness has also been shown to improve your immune function. We know that the more that you reduce your stress, the better your immune system can function, and the more rest that you're getting, the better your immune system functions. You also, with regular mindfulness, tend to have less emotional reactivity. So it's kind of that, you know, that hot-headedness that, you know, someone cuts you off while you're driving and you immediately react before you even realize what's happening, kind of popping off in that way, reducing that kind of emotional reactivity. And then people who practice regular mindfulness, this one I found to be really interesting, People report having increased satisfaction in relationships with others and also with themselves. So it's almost like the more that you cultivate a present moment practice, a mindfulness practice, you have just this greater satisfaction within your relationships, which I think is really cool. And I think it's important to note here that just a few minutes a day is fine, like 10 minutes. We're constantly in this go, 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 go state, kind of living life in fast forward or getting through something as quickly as possible so we can get on to the next thing, right? Like think about chores or family time, morning routines, all those tiny little things that add up during the day. Those are all opportunities to live mindfully. But often what we do is we're just like zipping through them and we're trying to just like check another thing off the list. Like I need to get this done so then I can immediately get on to the next thing. And it's just constant, you know, go, 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 one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. So when I was first introduced to really this idea of like mindfulness or mindful doing was when I was living with the monks, and I was given, every day I was given a daily task, and I was supposed to do it, you know, with presence and silence, with happiness and patience. So the first day it was like I had to weed in between these little like paver stones. So I was kind of on like my hands and knees, pulling out these little weeds, you know, in the little rocks, or pebbles. You guys know I'm like triggered by, pebbles because of that one. Haven't I told this story? Cause that one-star review where someone just like roasted me and wrote me this like huge paragraph about how I use the word pebbles in a, meditation because, and then all I could imagine was their feet being cut up by pebbles, or I should have said stones because stones are soft and pebbles are like hard. I don't know. Anyways, but these really were like pebbles. And I guess now that I think about it, it was kind of hard. But I mean, I was like on my hands and knees. So I was like, you know, my knees were on them. So it was a little bit hard. But I wouldn't say that like my knees were being like cut up by, you know, the pebbles. And but anyways, so anytime I say pebbles, I always think, oh, well, pebbles are sharp because of that individual's interesting one-star review, because I do read the reviews. So, you know, do with that what you will. 99% of them are so kind and so loving. And I've been doing this for so long that I think that was actually the reason that one sticks out of my mind. It was the first one-star review that I got. And it just felt like, oh, it was like this dagger to my heart. And I still get them every once in a while. I promise I'm not going to talk about this the whole time. But now they are, you know, they're usually, it's so interesting to me because we live in this, like, we live in like truly like a 5-star or 1-star like world where it's like you have to either like be on, and I'm not saying like, you know, you guys don't need to go and like mess up the algorithm and everyone give me a bunch of like 3 stars. But it's just so interesting because, you know, I get this like email every week and it just gives me like stats on the show. And if there's any like new reviews on there, it'll have them there. And every time I get that email, I'm kind of like, oh, I get this little like, oh, I hope there's like, you know, nice things in there. But, you know, it's just interesting because it's like we just live in such a duality of like, this is the best podcast I've ever listened to. And like writing these like some of these reviews that you guys leave, like truly bring me like, they like make me tear up because I'm like, this is so special and like kind and generous. And like, it just makes me feel like the work that I'm doing is like really significant and that it's, you know, that my intention of having these meditations reach the people that need it, it just feels like really good and fulfilling. And, you know, and then, or on the flip side, it's usually either that or it's someone that's just like, this person is a moron. They, you know, use pebbles instead of stone. And it's like these like scathing, like 1-star. And it's just something that I think about, you know, a lot, having had a business for a while. And I don't know, like why, just something I've personally been reflecting on is like, why the need to like either, you know, go above and beyond and like, you know, this thing has changed my life, or this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, you know, this person should just never do this ever again. You know, whatever it is. Like, why do we feel so moved to, you know, live in this, what I think of as like a 5-star or a 1-star world? And it's just, I don't have an answer to it. It's something that like I personally contemplate a lot. And, You know, it's interesting because when I think about, you know, to kind of bring it back and to rein this tangent back in, because I got triggered by my own use of the word pebble, I think about just when it comes to like mindfulness and especially this idea of emotional reactivity and introspection is something that I try to do that I've been working on just personally, is that when I have some kind of a big emotion, right, like a big thing, whether it be, you know, someone uses the word pebbles and that really like triggers me, is I try to, instead of having like the immediate reaction or kind of the immediate ripple effect in which something happened to me, so then that then makes me want to, or I dislike something that makes me want to like immediately kind of go on the offensive, is to hit the pause button even for a second and to try to practice introspection and be like, okay, what's happening right now? What's coming up for me? And that's not to say if you're not an introspective person, if you've ever left a one-star review on someone, but it's just interesting. And I think a lot about this, of this idea of kind of emotional reactivity and how, you know, one thing can happen to us and then that can ripple effect. Like I very much, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, especially if it's like someone's just creating something, you know, not that like, oh, what I'm doing is art. But like if I were to go into an art museum and like look at a piece of art, I didn't really care for it. Like I wouldn't go to that artist's like website and leave like a one-star review or be like, oh, this art museum stinks. They had this painting and I hated it. It's just kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like that's, you know, not for me, or it's not my favorite piece of art. And just, you know, letting that be that, as opposed to letting the experience that I have this ripple effect. And I think about this particularly with negative experiences, where this one negative experience or unpleasant thing that can happen to me be like a little stone that I drop into the water that then creates these ripple effects, right? So then if I do that, then I go and leave this, you know, scathing review for someone, you know, for whatever, like how does that then impact them or their mental health? Or like if, you know, I sometimes, again, one-star reviews are like kind of funny, not just on my podcast, but if you go on like Yelp or like Google reviews and you look at like the one stars, it's like some of them are just like a little silly and that person was obviously having like a bad day. But you think about like, well, how does that impact like the person who has to read those and review those, or like the employees at that business? And then, you know, then what does that do? Like, how do these kind of singular unpleasant experiences that I'm reconciling within myself or experiencing within myself, what is the long-lasting ripple effect to that? And again, I think like all of this to me really ties together, especially when it comes to mindfulness, because when I was first, you know, being introduced to this and I had to do kind of my daily chore, and this was when I was living with the monks, like it was almost 10 years ago at this point, maybe like, it was about 8 years ago. And I remember going back to the pebbles and the weeds, I was so like grumpy and salty about having to silently, because remember I'd take a vow of silence, having to silently kind of just like be on my hands and knees and like pluck out these little weeds. And I was so bent out of shape about it. And it's probably a good thing I had a vow of silence, because I wouldn't have, I don't imagine it. I would have been very pleasant to the people that I was talking to, the people that I was around. But it was like having this unpleasant experience of being like, oh, well, you know, I'm already not eating very much and I have to wake up early. And granted, all of this, like I chose to do all this. So I was just kind of being like a little brat at this time. And I was just grumpy. And then I had to get on my hands and knees on these little paver stones and pick out all these little weeds. And there were so many of them. Like it was a long path. Like I was at this for like an hour or two, just there being like, and you know, what a sense of entitlement I had. Like, oh, I'm, you know, coming here to learn. Why am I here picking these weeds? But I actually learned so much from that experience. And at first there was such resistance. I was so frustrated by it. And I was just like, oh, this, you know, thing, my knees hurt, da, 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 whatever. And then, you know, the next day, and I talked about this frustration, you know, with Bhante, with my teacher, and I was like, you know, I really hated that chore. And this is why, because there's, you know, these learning times that I could speak. And then the next day I was tasked with sweeping the meditation hall and, you know, getting all the dust out of these little nooks and crannies. And that task, you know, it was just a little bit different. And I, you know, when I was sweeping as opposed to when I was, you know, gardening, one, I kind of had this little attitude check for myself. But there was something like the meditation hall was empty and it was quiet and it felt really peaceful. And I was like, okay, like I started to take a little bit of pride in what I was doing. And I tried to be present with like the experience of doing it. And every day when I had a different task, whether it be, you know, washing windows or doing laundry or sweeping or gardening, like each day I started to kind of improve upon this process. And I found it more and more enjoyable. And I started to look, like almost look forward to it because I was kind of practicing this mindful doing where I'd had such a mindset of like, oh, a chore is a chore. Like you go and you do it and you just, you know, check it off the list and then you can move on to the next thing. And there really was no next thing. Like when I was there and, you know, I wasn't talking, I wasn't allowed to read anything. I'd take this total like, you know, off-grid vow of silence. Like there was nothing else to do. So I don't know what I was in such a rush for. And it was really eye-opening to me, like this particular activity of being given this chore. And they challenged me to really do it with gratitude and with curiosity and with joy. And after, you know, the few weeks that I was there, it became so powerful to just do something mindfully, which really kind of inspired this idea for me of like mindful doing and sharing that practice with others.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So transitioning now into how do you incorporate mindfulness into your day? Like, what does that look like? You know, why should we be doing it? All of that. The first thing that I like to explore when I'm looking at specifically this daily mindfulness practice is I like to do a little bit of like, I don't know, like a little audit. I feel like with every Freeform episode, I'm like, do an audit of your thoughts, do an audit of this. It really does help you. That's why I, you know, suggest it so much. But doing like this audit or just even imagining, what if you wrote down every little thing that you did each day, like everything that you quote did, like how long would that list be? It'd probably be huge. But how much of it do you remember doing, or how much were you engaged in doing? How much of it did you just kind of like blast through it to get it done? And I think about this, you know, sometimes at the end of my day, I feel like, you know, I did everything, but yet did nothing at the same time. It's like, well, I felt really busy all day. I was doing all of this stuff, but like, what did I actually do today? And that's always a good reminder to me that it's like, okay, I really just blasted through that day. I was not being anchored in the present. I was not being mindful for any of it. So just doing like a little audit, you know, mentally just reflecting or writing down, like, what do you do in a day? And it's a lot. And think of mindfulness as like the anti-multitasking, but in a way that just makes things like much more special. And, you know, not that this is all about like productivity, but studies do show that when you actually just take things like one thing at a time and you're fully present with that one thing, you do actually kind of get it done faster and more efficiently. But total mindfulness, what that means is that you're present with a single task. So no music, no podcasts. I know a lot of you are probably listening to me right now while you're doing a chore or something. I do it too. You don't have to, you know, say, I'm never going to do two things at once. I'm never going to listen to music while I clean my house, or I'm never going to listen to a podcast while I'm out for a walk again. Remember, we're just going to pick one little thing. But when we are doing this mindfulness activity, it's just being fully present, nothing in the background, truly nothing else except for that one thing that we're doing. The easiest way I find to start incorporating mindfulness into your everyday is to just pick one thing and be present for that one task. So that could be dishes, laundry, your morning commute, like one kind of quote, like mundane thing, your morning shower, whatever it is, like one little mundane thing that you do and that you usually do like every day. It could be maybe setting a timer and saying, you know what, for the next 30 minutes while I play with my kids, I'm just going to be fully present playing with my kids and just being completely present. And that can be like an 8-minute task, a 15-minute task, a 30-minute task. It's up to you, but just one regular mundane thing and be completely present while you do that thing every day. Could be the same thing every day. You can mix it up every day. And then you're going to use your senses, right? So if you're folding laundry, I talk about laundry a lot because it's one of my least favorite chores. So I actually, when I do fold laundry, I try to practice mindfulness with it because I just find that to be one of the more like daunting chores. But it can be like, what does this piece of clothing look like? What does it feel like in your hands? Maybe you contemplate who made it or where it was made, and then you fold it. This doesn't have to take long. Like, I don't sit there and like hold a shirt for like 5 minutes, like trying to unlock the secrets of the universe within this shirt, but just taking a minute to like hold it, appreciate it, and then I fold it and just be fully present of like, what does it feel like? What muscles do I use when I'm folding it? What color is the shirt? Does it, you know, often it smells like clean laundry, which is such, for me, such a pleasant scent. So something like that, like just being really present. Doesn't have to take long, but just be there using your senses with that particular thing. Another common one is mindful eating. So when I was with the monks, I took this vow of silence. So that meant I ate in silence. And what we were supposed to do during meal times was we were supposed to send gratitude for the entire journey that food went on for it to kind of arrive on our plate. So that meant like thinking about the plant that grew the tomatoes or whatever, and then, you know, experiencing gratitude for the sun that would shine down on the plants, giving the plant nourishments that then created these beautiful cherry tomatoes that then someone, you know, worked hard to pick, and then someone packaged, and then there's a truck driver that drove the trucks to the grocery store, and there was someone there at the grocery store that then put them nicely on the shelves, and then, you know, someone picked it up, and we had someone that was cooking for us at this time, so then that person picked it up and then brought it and prepared it beautifully and, you know, put it in this serving dish. And thinking about all of those different steps, all of the beautiful, wonderful people, the journey that tomato in my dish took from just to get from, you know, a little seed to going into my mouth to nourish my body. And I found that to be such a beautiful process. I really, really enjoyed meal time and thinking about that because for me, especially more presently, I feel like, you know, I don't know. I struggle with this with pork chops sometimes. This is me just being real. One of my personal struggles now is I feel like, you know, I'm trying to feed him, which is always a little bit of a chaotic experience, and kind of feed myself. And there's just a lot going on that it's like just to stop and to have this fully like mindful meal. It's something that I'm really missing and that I'm struggling to fit into my life. But it's like this really beautiful practice. So if you've never done that before, maybe give that a try just for one meal today or tomorrow. Is an option, and you just get to fully experience like the joy and the experience of eating through all of your senses in a way that often we're doing something else or eating while we're doing other things get missed. So some other ways to incorporate mindfulness into your day, and again, you just have to pick one, any small chore that you usually multitask through or kind of zip your way through, a daily commute, any meal, doing something like creative, or if you like to do art or, you know, gardening or walking or showering or journaling, drinking a cup of coffee or tea, even waiting in line somewhere, basically anything where your instinct might be to like whip out your phone or to get something else going to help pass time faster. That's like a prime opportunity to hit that pause button, take that pause and to practice mindfulness. So the challenge with this, and again, I'll have a meditation or a guided practice, I guess, for you on Sunday to go with this, but do one thing mindfully each day this week and just see what it's like. Just one little task. Just practice mindfulness. Do that thing fully present with your senses, trying to infuse like curiosity and joy into it, and just see what it's like. I find it to be a really simple but powerful practice. And I think about mindfulness and meditation as like cousins, like related, but not the same. And that they both are really useful and really powerful, but different. So even if you're a daily meditator, you have a really strong meditation practice, a way of expanding yourself may be incorporating a few minutes of mindfulness into your day. Every day. So some food for thought here. I thought it was going to be this short little mini, and then I went on this rant about pebbles, but you know, you never know what you're going to get here. But I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. I can't wait to hear about, you know, incorporating mindfulness into your day and what that's like. And I hope that wherever you are having a wonderful, beautiful, and uplifting day.